Thank you for joining us for the InVitro Q4C and Business Update Investor Call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Following the formal remarks, InVitroQ Founder and CEO, Dr. Stephen Fang, will open the lines for a question-and-answer period. At this time, I would now like to introduce Dr. Stephen Fang, Founder and CEO of InVitroQ. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Michael. Good morning, everyone. My name is Stephen Fang. I'm the founder and CEO of InVitroQ. I'm pleased to welcome everyone to the company's first quarterly investor call accompanying our 4C business update. In our effort to engage with our shareholders on a more regular basis, we will be hosting these calls with management, where participants can ask questions following a short presentation on the company's activities during that quarter. I'm personally delighted to have this opportunity to speak with you and answer your questions. On this call, I will provide commentaries on InVitroQ's activities from April to July 2017. Our agenda will cover the following items. Number one, revenue performance during the quarter and finances year to date. Number two, a joint laboratory recently established with A*STAR Genome Institute of Singapore. Number three, progress of external collaborations using InVitroQ's technology. And number four, expansions of InVitroQ's cell-based assaying business into new applications. Then I'll open to any questions from participants that has dialed in to today's call. Before we begin today's call, I would like to make the following safe harbor statement, reminding you that today's discussion will contain forward-looking statements that involve risk and uncertainties. These risks and uncertainties are outlined in our filings with the Australian Securities Exchange. As such, actual results may differ materially from what we discuss on today's call. We disclaim any obligation or intention to update these statements in the future. On revenue performance and finances, as reported in our Appendix 4C cash flow report, revenue from our customers totaled Singapore dollars 157,000 for the June quarter, and the company had receipts for financial year 2017 totaling Singapore dollars 708,000. This is a substantial jump in revenue for the company, representing an increase of 643% over the same period last financial year. Increasingly, this increase in revenue has been driven in large part by the validation and acceptance of InVitroQ's core cell-based assaying business by pharmaceutical companies for drug testing services. Our company has received repeated and larger contract values on its order books through 2017 and part of 2018. This will continue to increase its business development and marketing efforts in new territories such as Europe, the United States, to attract additional customers. The response to our marketing efforts in all markets have been encouraging and positive, and we are also expanding applications of our core cell-based assaying business and know-how into such areas as skin and wound healing. The company had a cash balance of Singapore dollars 601,000 as of 30th June 2017. Having completed a successful placement of $685,000 in early July with strategic investors to fund further development of the company's patient-derived organoid business and for other working capital needs. We look forward to continuing to update the market on the performance of our cell-based assaying business as market adoption continues to grow and that we gain traction in newer markets. On joint laboratory with the Genome Institute of Singapore. Last month on July 20th, In Vitro Q was pleased to announce the establishment of a joint innovation laboratory with A-STAR Genome Institute of Singapore. This was to develop patient-derived cancer organoids to better guide oncologists and clinicians' decision in cancer management and treatment. Called the GIS-IVQ Joint Lab, the joint lab aims to boost expertise and develop tumor models to enhance decision-making for clinicians and to enable them to personalize treatment to help patients manage the disease and prolong survivability. New technologies and assays will also be developed from this joint laboratory for real-time guidance of treatment in a clinical setting, for biobank patients-derived tumor models for the pharmaceutical drug discovery and immuno-oncology application, and for the identification of novel biomarkers of drug resistance and response using machine learning and artificial intelligence. On July 24th, I was honored to officially launch and open the laboratory as part of the University of Adelaide's Third Australian-Singapore Relationship Conference, alongside representatives from the South Australian Government, A-STAR, and the Genome Institute of Singapore. Over time, the laboratory will evolve to include up to 20 personnel in various technical and scientific roles, and more importantly, take in vitro cues, technology, and work closer to commercialization for technologies that would allow us to take the guesswork out of cancer treatment. Initial indications evaluated within the joint lab will include head, neck, and throat cancer, colorectal cancer, liver cancer, and triple-negative breast cancer. On progress with external collaborators, in addition to working with the Genome Institute of Singapore, another important milestone collaborator for our company is with the Garvan Institute of Medical Research at St. Vincent's Hospital in Sydney. This is one of Australia's leading cancer research centres. Following the signing of a collaborative research master agreement between the Garvan Institute and InVitroQ in February 2017, early last month, we announced that InVitroQ have been granted Human Research Ethics Committee approval to undertake a cancer research study with the Institute. This research study is important in providing further clinical validation of InVitroQ's technology for use in personalized real-time screening of cancer drugs, and we look forward to updating the market as our activities with the Garvan Institute progress. In the expansion of cell-based assaying business, while progressing external collaborators with our technologies and driving greater adoption of our technology with existing and new pharmaceutical companies remain a major focus for the management team, we are also actively evaluating opportunities to expand the use of that technology into new areas. In May, we announced the expansion of our cell-based assaying business into skin and wound healing. This involved us developing easy use of in vitro assay to assess safety and efficacy of consumer products. As I stated when we announced this expansion, I believe this move creates both short-term and long-term benefits for InVitroQ. With that, I'd like to turn the call over to the operator to open this call for questions. I look forward to answering your question, and I thank you very much for your time to make this call.
Thank you. If you wish to ask a question, please press star, then one on your telephone, and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star, then two. If you're on a speakerphone, please pick up the handset to ask your question. Your first question comes from Sridhar Ramaswamy, a private investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you. Thanks for your introduction. So I had two questions. So one was, what is the plans for developing products? Because I from your early comments and my read of literature, based on the development for cancer drugs and oncology, I sense that is where the future is. So my question is, what are the sort of the plans and the time frame to be able to bring the cancer and the oncology products to market? So that's my first question. Maybe perhaps I'll hold my subsequent questions for that answer.
Sure. Well, thank you for that question. The service that we currently offer using the company's technology in the area of personalized oncology is not to develop specific oncology products as such. The service we offer is to help clinicians or to guide clinicians in the use of already approved products in selected patients. So what we plan to do is to have the right drug to the right patient at the right time. As you would appreciate, developing a new class of cancer drug, that requires many years of development work, huge amount of investment, and that is currently not a strategy of the company. Rather, we would prefer to focus on helping clinicians find better ways of using these drugs and in taking them to clinic. Having said that, there are opportunities which we are currently in discussion where there are pharma companies or pharmaceutical companies that are keen to use the technology to help them discover some of these new drugs. We can look and explore opportunities along those lines. But again, I think the current focus is for us to get our technology into clinic for real-time clinical use. So I hope that helps with answering the first question.
In part. So if I can have a follow-on question. So obviously then the focus is on services, because from an investor's perspective, my question was leading to understand what kind of IP is InVitroQ trying to develop, because does the services business throw up enough IP? I certainly know that the product business would throw up IP. So hence my question, right? So the path that we're currently taking, which is a services orientated approach, is that likely to sort of throw up IP, which will potentially lead to some benefits for investors?
Sure, I think that's a very good question. We currently already have IPs around the materials and methods in how we multiply or expand these cells, whether they are normal human cells or whether they are human cancer cells. So that's the first line of protection with our existing IPs, and the information or details of those IPs are actually available online. The second level of protection is know-how. With the service that we offer, we are undertaking the offering of those services only through selected partnerships and laboratories in which the know-how is kept within the company and under the master research or research master service agreement. That know-how allows us to translate into billable services. The third level of protection, obviously, are the biomarker business, in which through the use of the technology and as we offer the service to more patients, we are able to identify new biomarkers which we can then put them into a product that could be sold to either the clinical community or pathology community. The fourth level is really something that we're very excited about, where we could indeed actually convert service business into a product business. And we have started doing that work this month, and we hope to have these kits that are available to be shipped to different parts of the world, where the entire process of how you would deliver that service is captured in that kit. And in that kit, which is specific to each patient and specific to each cancer type, we would have embedded our technology and know-how. So you kind of black box it, and we'll have a product. So I think the best way to answer your question surrounding this area on both IPs and product, we are actually moving towards that direction, where we are capturing IPs in the product and producing products, you know, in the next 12 to 24 months that would allow us to scale and also offer the service in the premise of our customer base, which are the hospitals or the research houses. So I hope that provides further color and additional information to your question.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you. Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star, then one on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. We will now pause briefly to allow questions to enter the queue. Your next question comes from Tony Adams with Pacific. Please go ahead.
Oh, hello, Stephen. Just a question with regard to the costs being incurred with the new A-Star Institute sort of facility and what the cost burden is to InVitroQ from a cash flow perspective. Not really a burden. I know it's going to be a fantastic opportunity to explore the opportunities available to you, but probably not a good choice of words, but more what the actual costs are to InVitroQ with the association of that, and leading on from that, what the sort of cash flow burn is for the company at the moment. I've got several clients asking this and have asked me to convey this question in this forum. Thank you.
Sure. Well, thank you for the question, Tony. So let me give a little bit more color behind the A-Star GIS IDQ joint lab. It's really a joint lab where both parties are bringing different resources to the table. GIS, which is, you know, part of A-Star, it's a government-owned research or group of government-owned research institutions, and they are heavily funded through research grants from the Singapore government. And their responsibility in this joint lab is to provide facility, and that, by that I mean renovated laboratory accredited facility. Their role is to bring in and made available to us equipment that we will use, as well as leading scientists that would support the whole endeavor. And they have their own funding stream that essentially comes from the Singapore government to take care of those resourcing. Our role in the joint lab is to bring our technology and know-how to bear on this joint effort. The joint lab, in essence, is a infrastructure or a facility that allows us to commercialize the service for this personalized oncology service that we'll be undertaking initially. By that, I mean the lab is created not just to do development work, but to support hospitals in Singapore and in around Southeast Asia when they do send patients' cancer or tumor specimen to us. And we would actually charge for that. Part of the charge or part of the price that is being paid by the patient goes into paying for consumables. the real cost to in vitro Q at this point going forward with regards to joint lab are really headcounts cost. And those costs have been factored in, you know, as we use the existing team and will also hire new headcounts to support this lab. As such, the cash required from us is really our ongoing cash requirement in terms of hiring this headcount, as well as maintaining this headcount to support the work. Any incremental consumable cost that's being charged back to the patients or to the payer, depending on which hospitals the patient comes from. That payer could be an insurance company. It can also be the Singapore government itself, or it could be a private paying patient. So we think we're getting a really good arrangement with, you know, having to partner with a internationally well-recognized institute with the backing of the Singapore government to fund the facility, the build-up of the facility, and the equipment within the facility, as well as some of the leading scientists that will do the development work together alongside with us. And we are getting the benefit of being able to commercialize as much as we can with that investment of the joint lab. So I hope that provides some clarity and answer to your question. And maybe I turn it back to you, Tony, if you have a need to ask a follow-on question to that.
No, that clarifies it very well. I suspect that may be the case in regards to the institute arrangement. I just thought it'd be good to, in the public forum, for people to hear that. But what about, you've raised $685,000, $690,000 in the recent raise. I mean, one of the questions people have is from an overall group perspective. It's great to see the 643% increase what you have achieved in the last 12 months. It'd be fantastic if you can achieve that again in the next 12 months. The question really is in regards to, you know, the ongoing cash flow requirements or cash burn that you have in the operations as it currently is, and maybe, you know, when investors can look forward to a sort of a break-even point in time to come. And any comments you can make, appreciate it's a bit difficult given the disclosure requirements that you have to make.
Sure. Well, thanks for that question again, Tony. So I think we have built a very sustainable business, in my view. The nature of our testing services for the pharmaceutical companies are typically locked in months ahead, and currently our order books are quite full. So we know for a fact that we have ongoing projects well into next year, which is good. And many of these contracts are repeated contracts. So we know the customers, we know how they're growing with their demand for the testing services that we offer. The cost base of the company have not increased significantly. So if we continue to increase our top line, I think there is a good opportunity for us to move towards break-even in the not-too-distant future. And that is something that management is working very hard on securing for the company. The cost base is also a good subject to talk about because most of our costs in the company today are really headcount cost, as well as some level of marketing and travels. We don't have any substantial costs related to having to own and operate a lab. We don't have any cash requirement having to go into research and development. There are some costs involved in translation where we actually co-fund some of the activities to take the products to market. So if you take that dynamic in terms of where we are over the last 3 years with our cost base and where we're coming from and going with the revenue line I think you can appreciate that, you know, those two lines are going to come together, in which point the company will be break even and begin to be profitable. So I hope that provides some clarity and guidance in terms of where we see the company going over the next 12 months or so.
That's fine. I suppose people in the meeting here would be probably interested to know how long the cash balance of $601,000 is likely to last. I suppose that's really what my clients are asking, and don't know whether you can comment on that. I appreciate what you're saying, but it's not a huge figure that is sitting there, but you see that sort of being, a comfortable position for, coming months?
Well, thank you. I think I now have a better understanding of your question. I think we've been in fundraising for quite a number of months now. The amount that we have brought in is what investors could respond to within, the last couple of weeks. We have a fair bit of interest from investors from around the world. And what we've chose to do is to do a rolling close as opposed to a one-time close, which also means that we do have the capability and ability to kind of keep bringing in, new funds to make sure that we do have sufficient runway and buffer. I think to answer your question specifically for the amount of cash balance we have, that amount should see us in a while into this year. But as I've mentioned, we do have a program where we have identified and are in the process of doing a closure on either a monthly or quarterly basis of new investors and new cash coming into the company.
Oh, that's great. That really answers it a lot better, and people get comfort from that. Thanks very much, Stephen. Wish you the best.
Sure. Sure. Thank you.
Thank you. There are no further questions at this time. I'll now hand back to Dr. Fung for closing remarks.
Thank you, operator. As you have heard today, we are making great strides at InVitroQ. And I do look forward to speaking with you shortly to report on our progress at the next call. Thank you again for your patience and, more importantly, for your support of the company and for joining us on our first quarterly investor call. Thank you very much.